Because I don't want you to. And you have that something that drives men crazy.
What's that? I eyeball him. He shrugs, taking my hand in his and kissing my open palm.
You're cool.
Have you ever been in love? I lick my lips.
Ask me that question tomorrow before you go. My turn. Ever had an orgasm from a kiss?
Excuse me? My eyebrows shoot up to my forehead. His face cracks with a mischievous grin that lights up the entire backyard. It shines right into me, keeping me warm.
You heard me.
No, I hiss, narrowing my eyes at him. Is he for real? I just told him I hadn't orgasmed with a guy. Mal leans down and thumbs my cheek, the rest of his fingers curling around the back of my neck. He feathers his lips against mine. I let him, my eyes still open, guarded and waiting. He darts his tongue out and licks the tip of my nose unexpectedly. I snort out a laugh, letting my guard down. That's not gonna do anything. Mal slams his mouth against mine, and before I know what's happening, he's on top of me, pinning my wrists above my head in the damp, cold grass. I groan into his mouth as I feel his body cover mine completely in all the places that matter, because he is hard and hot everywhere, the opposite of my cold, soft self. It's like we aren't even made out of the same material. His tongue finds mine, and somehow, they dance together sensually and in perfect unison, like we've practiced it before. He is an excellent kisser, pulling me into a swirl of passion that makes me blind with need. I feel my panties becoming damp and sticking to my body. This kiss is everywhere, down to my curled toes. And just when I'm starting to believe in his orgasm from a kiss, silent promise, he lets go of my wrists and pulls back, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. You didn't make me come, I rasp through swollen, numb lips. It's more of an accusation than a taunt, almost a whine.
Are we going to sleep together tonight, Rory?
He asks seriously, looking away. It's not your turn to ask a question, I stutter. He is the most direct person I've ever met, and I don't know what to make of it.
I'll owe you one. Now answer.
This time he turns to look at me, and our eyes meet in the dark. The grass is crisp and dewy, even under the blanket. It's chilly, but for once that's not the reason goosebumps blossom all over my skin. My breath catches in my throat. Jesus. I want to, I confess. The muscles of his neck move when he swallows. But we shouldn't, should we? I whisper. Not when we already like each other so much.
I don't know,
he rasps.
I don't want to spend the rest of my life wondering what you feel like.
His hand drags down to my neck, wrapping around it, and he leans forward, kissing me so softly, I shudder from the delicacy of his touch. His tongue slides into my mouth, and he rolls on top of me, his hands caressing every inch of my body, my arms, my shoulders, my waist, my stomach, my breasts. He bunches my jacket and hoodie up and flicks a puckered nipple through my shirt. I'm wearing a sports bra, but the chill and the moment make everything in my body impossibly tense and erect and needy. We groan at the same time, so he flicks it again. Then he moves back up to kiss me, and we smile into each other's mouths. I don't know how it happens, but all my upper layers, jacket, hoodie, top, find themselves thrown beside us. He unclasps my bra with one hand while shoving the other into my corduroys.
Anyone ever touched you there?
He asks, brushing his middle finger along my slit. I jolt in pleasure, clenching everywhere. Yeah, my mouth waters.
And like this?
He dips his finger into me, and we can hear how wet I am. I turn maroon between his arms. Mm-hmm. My ex-boyfriend, Taylor.
Did Taylor do this too?
He drags his wet finger to my clit, massaging it in slow circles. I throw my head back, closing my eyes. It's not that Taylor didn't know where to touch me. I've just always felt too removed from the moment to fully enjoy it. Like I was putting on a sexy act. This? I feel this everywhere. I'm delirious, hot and wet underneath him. Mal takes my left nipple into his mouth and sucks. Stars explode behind my eyes like fireworks. Everything tightens with delight. I like that he thinks about me first. I like that he is still fully clothed. I like that he knows exactly what he's doing. Even if that means he's practiced on other girls. On many girls, no doubt. God, I moan.
Partial about him, remember?
Mal jokes, kissing his way up from my breasts to my shoulders and neck, biting and teasing me as I begin to buck my hips forward and ride his hand that's shoved inside my pants. He rubs my clit back and forth faster, and I prepare to explode. He dips two fingers into me and lets out a groan. Then, when my climax hits me from my toes to the top of my head, he reaches into my bag with one hand, takes the camera out, and snaps a picture of my face as I come. He captures me in such a vulnerable moment, I want to scream at him. But when he dumps the camera on the quilt next to us and looks down, I let it go. He doesn't look smug or happy or offhanded about it. He looks tortured.
Rory.
Hmm?
I made you come.
I blink, looking down at my wrinkled corduroys pushed halfway down my thighs.
And you're going to make me come now, he says. Hopefully, after I put my dick inside you. Feck, I can't stop staring at you. You're beautiful.
He unbuckles his belt, lowers his pants, flips his wallet open, and begins sheathing himself with a condom. I kick my corduroys down, refusing to dwell on the fact that he has condoms ready at any given moment. I don't get a good look at his penis, purposefully avoiding eye-to-dick contact. Penises freak me out, especially uncircumcised ones. They look like sweater sleeves curled inwards after a wild ride in the washing machine. When he's all wrapped up, he looks down at me, his arms braced on either side of my head. I blush, covering my face. Stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
With a grin that says you pissed in the jacuzzi everyone's chilling in and got away with it. You gave me an orgasm. You didn't discover the cure for cancer.
Night's still young, he jokes, dropping a kiss at the crown of my head. Ready?
He asks, angling himself between my legs.
God, yes.
I nod. He thrusts into me, our eyes lock, and when he starts to move inside me, almost shyly, and definitely not as smoothly and skillfully as I'd imagined. We find out Taylor didn't really do a stellar job taking my virginity after all. I squirm. Mal gasps. He kisses me with so much passion, I can feel his kiss twisting my stomach in delicious, messy knots. Without warning, he presses a hand to my left breast, frowning and looking skyward still inside me. What? I trail off before I realize what he's doing. I told him I'd sleep with him tonight over my dead body. I can't help but giggle underneath him.
Still breathing,
he confirms, diving down for another ravenous kiss.
And oh, how alive you are against my fingertips.
It hurts, I moan into his open, welcoming mouth, clinging to his shoulders.
Don't worry, Princess Aurora,
he growls. Hot and velvety and alive against my skin.
I'll make sure to rock your castle if it's the last thing I do.
2 a.m. I stir awake in Mal's bed. The room is so dark, no light from lamp posts or passing cars or electronic devices. There's no difference between opening my eyes and closing them. I feel his hot, wet tongue between my thighs, lashing hungrily as it swirls deeper between my legs. "What are you doing?" I moan.
"Tasting you."
He dips his tongue into my folds, and I squirm with pleasure.
"Christ on a cracker, Rory, you taste like heaven."
"Mal, what are you?" But then his tongue brushes my clit, and his lips clamp down on it, sucking. I squeeze my thighs against his face and grab his hair, arching against the pillow and moaning as I press his head into me.
"You'll wake England, darling."
He dips a finger into me, flicking my nub with his tongue at the same time. "What do you care? You have a beef with them." He laughs as he French kisses my clit, his fingers curling to find my G-spot as my toes coil deliciously. I come again, his name on my lips. 3 a.m.
"It's more about enthusiasm than technique,"
Mal explains, his penis staring back at me. It's thicker and longer than Taylor's, angry looking and purplish. I finally found something about him that's less than perfect, even though it does feel good inside me.
"Just give it your best go. Honestly, I'll probably come after 20 seconds anyway. You're a ride, Rory."
I wrap my lips around his shaft, then realize he was right when he pushes me back, not 15 seconds later, coming on my chest. We fall from the bed to the floor, limbs tangled, laughing hysterically.
"Rory," he thunders, "I pre-ejaculated. Now I must kill you to keep my secret safe."
"Relax, I'm not going to tell on you." I roll on the floor, mid-yawn, hitting the door. I can still taste his salty flesh. My mouth feels full of him. "Besides, we'll have an ocean separating us, remember? Who will I tell? My pet fish?"
"You have fish?"
He looks startled, like it hurts that he doesn't know everything about me. "I'll get some to make you feel good about yourself."
"Just admit that I can kill you too," he says from across the room now, both of us lying on the floor, staring at the ceiling.
"Why?"
"Because you're stealing my breath, so you're already halfway there with the killing part."
I shake my head, zipping my mouth with my fingers. He grabs a guitar pick from the floor and throws it at me.
"I'll let you hold on to your heart for a little longer. Just don't get attached."
I laugh, but then he stops and looks at me, and I swear there's regret etched on his face.
"Forgive me,"
he asks. "For what?" I scrunch my nose. He looks away, swallowing.
"Good question. For not giving you what you came here for, I suppose."
4 a.m.
"Sometimes you make music. Sometimes the music makes you,"
Mal explains. We sit on his bed, sharing a pack of something he calls candy rolls, drinking milk from the carton.
"And when it makes you, it changes you. And when it changes you, you never know how you're going to come out of it."
"Same with photography," I nod. "I feel like a director, showing you what I want you to see. I can make the field behind your house gorgeous or creepy, sad or happy. It's all in the angles and filters and composition."
"I don't want to sing. Attention doesn't get my dick hard."
"I know," I smile. "That's why I hide behind a camera too. It doesn't make me wet, I suppose, either," I blush.
"So you understand."
He smiles, relieved.
"I won't sell my songs. They're mine."
"Do what makes you happy. The world will understand. If it doesn't, it's the world's problem, not yours." Silence.
"Marry me, Rory."
He turns to me.
"Let's just stay here and feck and make music and take pictures."
I laugh and pop another candy into my mouth. But he seems serious, waiting for an answer. "Mal," I say, Jesus. He's still looking at me, waiting for an answer. I have school. I'm going to college in a few weeks.
We have colleges here.
I've already enrolled, paid. I have a dorm room. My best friend Summer is coming with me.
I have some savings,
he insists.
I'm good at what I do. I can provide for us.
You're insane.
I never claimed not to be.
He scowls, and by the edge in his voice, I can tell he's finding it hard to keep himself calm. Then he shakes his head, smiles, rolls on top of me, and covers my face with hot, wet kisses. He taps the nightstand, trying to find another condom. There aren't any. We ran out. He lifts his face from mine, wordlessly asking for permission. I can feel the weight of this decision pressing against every bone in my body, especially considering how I came into this world. This is where I become my mother, where I let my need and lust override my logic. I give him a little nod. Pull out, please. It'd be hard to take care of a baby during finals.
Beck you, Rory.
Please do, Mal. In the morning, I insist on treating him to breakfast before we head to the airport. He paid for my hotel and my meals since I got here. It's the least I can do. We end up at the Boar's Head, which is apparently the only place locals eat. Tourists from all over the world come to Tolka for the small-town Irish experience, to work the land and tour the local brewery. I've learned this place is also known for its butter. The pub is jam-packed when we walk in, but a beautiful blonde bartender finds us a table when she spots Mal. "Missed you, rascal," she winks at him. It's pretty easy to see they share a history. Mal flicks the back of her ear.
"Been a minute."
"Call me this weekend?"
"Depends on a certain bell," he says.
Bell means a ring, a booty call, a one-night stand. But Bell is my name, too. Not that he knows that. My whole body is sore from having sex with Mal 5 times last night, not to mention the extracurricular activities we did in addition. We don't discuss the one time without the condom because he did pull out. I tell myself nothing bad will happen, but just to make sure, I'll buy a morning after pill at the airport's Boots Pharmacy. After placing our order at the bar, I wince as I sit down. Mal grabs my hand and presses it against his lips.
"Let's try this again in broad daylight," he clears his throat. "Stay."
I tear open a pack of chips and throw one into my mouth, chewing to buy some time. "As I said, I'm starting college in 2 weeks.
Feck college.
What about my mom?
Don't feck her. That's the kind of kinky I'm not quite into. But you hate her, Rory. Besides, we'll send her hairspray every month, and plane tickets every Christmas. Easter too, if you insist."
He reaches for his Guinness, yes, in the morning, taking a generous sip.
"Stay, Rory. It's kismet. Tell me you didn't notice the rain stopped when we kissed yesterday."
I open my mouth to say it means nothing, but then the power goes out. It's daylight, but it still freaks me out when the hanging TVs go dead, the Lord of the Dance music stops, and the humming of industrial fridges ceases. The silence stretches between us. Everyone seems to have gone quiet. I'm not sure, but I think some people are staring at us. They must have heard the last part of the conversation when the music died and are waiting for my answer. Do they know Mal proposed? I swallow, staring at my hands on the table.
"Rory,"
he asks. "I don't believe in kismet," I say quietly, keeping my eyes trained on the open bag of chips. "You're 22 and I'm 18. We both know it won't last. Am I working against my own fate?" The electricity comes back on. This serendipity crap is borderline paranormal. Annoyed, I take comfort in the fact that the football playing on the TVs and the music will drown our conversation, and the rest of the locals go back to their chit-chat. Mal says nothing. His face falls, like he just realized I'm right. I pinch the hoop in my nose and slide it back and forth. Hey, what about doing a long-distance thing? I'm planning on getting a job while I study, so I can probably visit you next summer. Maybe even Christmas, depending on the ticket prices. As I say this, I try to convince myself it really can work. I'll only need to pay for the tickets. Mal has a car and a house. But he shakes his head, sitting back and balancing his chair on its two back legs.
I'm an all-or-nothing type of lad, Rory. There's no way in hell I can manage long distance.
His answer angers me a little. So he wants me, but only on his conditions? That's shitty. If someone isn't willing to wait for you, they don't really deserve you. I can't tell him to uproot himself and come to the States, to leave six siblings, his nephews and nieces, a mother, an elderly adoptive grandfather, and a mourning childhood friend who is pining for him and probably wants to wear my skin. And after the offhand way he treated me when I brought up long distance, I won't even try. We could stay friends on Facebook or MySpace, I start, but he cuts me off.
And watch as you move on with other guys? Nah, thank you. I try to keep my self-hatred below suicidal level, and we both know watching each other fecking other people would be dazzlingly stupid.
I give him a hard stare, folding my arms. Fine, then we go cold turkey.
I can't go cold turkey, he says.
God, he is difficult. You leave no room for much else, I grit out.
False, he retorts.
What do you suggest?
A contract.
He lets his chair slam on the floor as he leans forward.
You Yanks love legally binding shite, yeah?
He reaches for my bag next to me, flipping it open. He takes out my camera and a pen, sprinkles the utensils out of a folded napkin, and straightens it on the table.
It's not the right time to be together, I agree. But if we meet again, under any circumstances, any time in the future, we're making this work, Rory. Feck spouses, feck boyfriends and girlfriends, feck the world. If kismet happens, we are letting it happen, no matter what, you hear?
I stare at him like he just fell from the sky. What is he smoking? And how do we make sure it never falls into the hands of our youth? The chances of us meeting again are less than zero.
Bzz, wrong again. They are slightly more than zero. I would put it at 0.15%, he says cheerfully.
I don't know how he can be so nonchalant about it, but I guess I can't complain. He proposed to me, and I'm almost sure he was serious. I turned him down, publicly too. What if one of us seeks the other person out? I ask.
That's cheating.
Mal shakes his head.
It needs to happen organically. We can't look for each other.
But what if someone does? I have a feeling this someone is going to be me.
Then the contract is terminated and you don't have to marry me.
I have to marry you if we meet again? My eyes flare, but I'm smiling. He shrugs.
High stakes make good stories, Princess Aurora of New Jersey.
So much for me having the power to kill you. You won't even give me your phone number, I mumble, sipping my Diet Coke.
I'm not giving you my number because I don't want this to kill me, he grinds out, his eyes darkening.
I'm trying not to hate him right now because I know everything he says is right and true. We can't be together, and keeping in touch would leave both of us craving more. Mal jots the terms of the contract on the napkin. Then he signs it and slides it toward me.
Whenever you're ready.
I read it first. We, Malachi Isaac Doherty, and Aurora, what's the rest of your name, hereby promise each other that, In the unlikely event we meet again, under any circumstances, under any rules and conditions, at random, we will make this work. No matter the casualties or consequences, we marry each other. We live happily ever after, with kids and dogs and arsehole sheep. The rules. No looking for each other on the internet. No seeking each other out. But if it happens, it's on. Signed, Malachi Isaac Doherty. Aurora McGorgeous O'Cool. In the unlikely event. He knows it. I know it. Still, you can't make someone be with you. You can't force them to commit to something doomed. I have no plans of moving to Ireland after I graduate, and Mal's entire life is here. I amend my name to Aurora Bell Jenkins, so he'll know it. I already want him to cheat. And sign. I consider only briefly the fact that I never told him my middle name, and he's referred to it. He takes a picture of the napkin and passes me my camera.
Your copy of the agreement for safekeeping.
Mal tucks the napkin into his back pocket and takes a sip of his Guinness.
I mean it,
he shrugs.
I'm getting this notarized and apostilled.
I know. I throw another chip into my mouth, trying to act nonchalant.
Let's just hope I don't die from heartbreak first.
He downs the rest of his Guinness. I think about Kathleen's open arms and the herd of girls who follow him everywhere. Oh, I think you'll survive.
A note from the napkin. Look, I don't have high hopes for this spur-of-the-moment contract. You think it's my first rodeo? I'm recycled, bitch. I've been around the block long enough to know how this works. They will keep their promise for a few weeks, maybe a month if they're really into each other. Then I'll start to wrinkle, stink, and fall apart. Or his mother will find me and throw me away, muttering profanity at her untidy son, who, of course, by that time will be balls deep in someone else and not actually present. I'm just the victim of their knee-jerk decision. I should have died gracefully in a recycling bin, tucked comfortably among other napkins, plastic bottles and stray leftovers the workers here are too lazy to scrape off to the other bin. Also, and not on a completely unrelated note, I have a ketchup stain the size of a pea on the word casualties, and it itches like hell. This has mess written all over it.
When we reach Dublin Airport, I fling my backpack over one shoulder, grab my suitcase from Mal's trunk, and insist he doesn't come in with me. He double parks, rounding the car on a jog. I hate airport scenes in movies. They're morbidly tacky. We're better than that, Mal. I tuck my hair behind my ears, chuckling at my feet. Truth is, I'm already crushed. And if we share any more intimate moments, I might spend the entire trip home crying, which would be beyond embarrassing. He rubs his thumb over my lower lip, smiling.
Safe travels.
Thanks. But I'm still standing here like an idiot, waiting for what exactly? I don't want to go. I don't want to leave you. I remember something important. I unzip my suitcase, rummaging for my Polaroid camera. When I find it, I jump up and take a picture of us together. I hand it to him. It's not fair that I'll have all these pictures of us and you'll have nothing.
I won't have nothing,
he amends, smiling.
I'll have the memory.
And our contract. I squeeze his shoulder, but I can already feel our bodies growing apart. Like we're strangers again. You'll have that, too. He rolls his eyes.
Let's hope I don't wank on it to death the first week you're gone.
I laugh and glance at the napkin in question, relieved that it's an inanimate object, but it's a mirthless kind of laugh. He takes my face in his hands and kisses me so deeply I lose balance. His heart is beating so fast and hard, it sounds like it could tear his chest open. Maybe, I think desperately. It should. I want to snatch it and take it with me, somewhere Kathleen won't be able to get to it. We disconnect slowly, like we're glued together. Don't be with Kathleen. I look up at his face, whispering, "She doesn't kill you." That Bukowski quote pops into my head. Find what you love and let it kill you. I think I just did.
I won't. Don't be with a stupid, shiny guy with boiled balls. You were born for greatness, princess.
I won't, I smile. He lifts my chin with his finger so our eyes lock and says,
ask me again.
I don't need clarification on this. I know. I know because I feel it too, and it cracks my resolve. I press my palm against his chest, monitoring his heartbeat. Have you ever been in love? I can't swallow the emotions lodging in my throat. He grins down at me.
Goodbye, Rory.
My eyes flare, but I grin. Bastard.
What?
He laughs. I laugh too. This time it's a real laugh. We both needed this, I realize. An icebreaker. Why did you tell me to ask you this if the answer is no?
I didn't say the answer is no.
He runs his hands along my arms.
But if I admitted it to you, I'd admit it to myself. Then I'd have to look for you, and that'd be a breach of contract. You have to understand, Rory. Next time I see you, I'll have you. I won't care if you have a boyfriend, or a husband, or a harem of men vying for your love. If you have children, I'll raise them as mine. So I guess an apology is in order.
Or what? I blink. He turns to leave. I'm not ready to say goodbye, but I know I never will be.
For no doubt disrupting your life and tearing it apart next time I meet you. All's fair in love and war, yeah.
But he doesn't wait for me to answer. He gets into his car and drives off, leaving me standing there with his pulse still beating in my palm.
4. Present. Mal. Out on the balcony, Aurora stares at me like I took a shite in her soup. To be fair, after everything that's gone down in the last 8 years, I would have, if the opportunity had presented itself. As it happens, it didn't, so who knows exactly why she's filled with such surprise and terror. Nevertheless, the years we've spent apart have treated her well, unlike the way they've treated me. She still has funky hair that would look lovely wrapped around my fist. A nose hoop I'm sure she still messes with all the time, legs for miles clad in torn fishnet stockings, and a wardrobe of a 15-year-old crushing hard on young blood in 5 seconds of summer. She has a Marilyn Monroe-like beauty mark above her upper lip, that prominent crescent star I bet she still doesn't know the story of, and lashes so thick they shadow her cheeks when she looks down. Positively lovely. The same way many women are. Many women I haven't thrown my life away for. The idea that I've been sick with guilt over everything I hadn't told her, everything I couldn't say, promised not to tell her, makes me want to laugh now. Yes, I kept things from Aurora, but she went the extra mile and ripped things from me. Ask me what drew me to her in the first place that fateful day on Drury Street, and I still won't be able to pinpoint it. She's a fine thing, but too in love with the idea of herself. Like all pseudo-artistic pretty girls who can operate a camera in their mouths around a rich guy's cock. I cut myself some slack. Ages 16 to 22 had been a blur of getting sloshed and treating myself to periodic blackouts. A girl like Aurora had slipped easily into my hopelessly optimistic heart. Age 30, however, brings with it a heart that's frosted like a winter garden. Also, I stopped taking destructive lasses into my bed and promising them forever a while ago. Lesson learned, and Rory was an excellent teacher. Yeah, Aurora Bell Jenkins hasn't changed. Me, on the other hand, a completely different fella. She turns to face me, going for an awkward, hesitant hug. I swivel, also, but with my hands clasped behind my back. When she sees a warm greeting is not in the cards for us, I reach out and use my thumb to lift her jaw, closing her slacked mouth.
"You're here," she murmurs.
Aurora, always observant and quick-witted. I throw her an impatient smile. My coat is over her shoulders because I remember she is always cold. What I never got the chance to tell her is that I'm always so unbearably hot. We really were quite good together, at least for 24 hours. She takes a step back, looking wary, wide-eyed, a frightened animal who just heard the deadly click of a trigger. She shouldn't be. I would never hurt her. Physically, anyway. Wasn't I the only Muppet to give her the time of day when she was in Ireland? Yes. Yes, I was. There's an elephant in the room, and if she thinks I'll take mercy on her by addressing it, she's about to discover new Mal is nothing like the one she left behind.
Why? How? What are you doing here?
She blinks. Seeing her like this, confused and disoriented, is not giving me the instant gratification I'd imagined getting all those years, in case we ever met again. And knowing Aurora, it's not going to last long. She'll find her footing soon. I had the luxury of spotting her as soon as I walked through the doors this evening. I needn't a single glance to recognize her. She is, after all, tattooed in my mind, permanent and painful. Work, I say. You?
Same.
She clears her throat, straightening her back, gaining her composure.
You're a singer now? That's great, Mal.
I write songs. I correct, taking a sip of my whiskey. I can tell she's shocked and hurt by the fact that I'm not hurling myself at her with love declarations. That makes both of us, if you ask 22-year-old Mal. You? I jut my chin in her direction.
Photographer for Blue Hill Records.
She smiles, trying to break the ice.
Gosh, Mal, I never thought I'd see you again, but I see we're still as predictable as the places we come from.
Speak for yourself. I run my eyes down her body, making a point not to stop anywhere of previous interest. You might be predictable. I have a few new tricks up my sleeve. Her smile falls. She opens her mouth to say something. Argue, probably. Aurora's always been feisty, and I doubt that's changed. When the balcony doors open and Jeff Reiner stumbles out. Jeff Reiner is what happens when every cliche in the fecking book meets a man with zero personality, deep pockets, and an impressive heritage. It's like he was Frankensteined in the basements of some low-budget Hollywood studio. The washed-up, coked-up, slimy record suit. He inherited Blue Hill, a small record label from his father some years ago, and has felt inclined to ruin it. His recent conquests include signing Ashton Richards, a solo artist who is about as talented as a half-empty bottle of lube. Richards looks like an unfortunate cross between a male model, a hobo, and a One Direction dropout. He can carry a note like I can carry a fecking pyramid on my back. Saddled with the vocal range of a battered whale, he relies on autotune and his baby blue eyes. Which brings me to Jeff Reiner's second conquest. Yours truly. I'm supposed to write songs for Richard's next album for the modest sum of 1 million euros. I say modest because there's no price for my dignity, yet here I am stripping myself of poise for the greater good. Another thing she is responsible for. Thanks for that, Aurora.
Jenkins, I see you've met the man of the hour.
Reiner slow claps as he zigzags his way to us, a cigarette dangling from his mouth. He looks like Humpty Dumpty in a technicolor suit, his sweaty upper lip glistening like garbage juice.
This is Malachi Doherty. Mal, this is Rory, our junior photographer. Mal, Rory shot the cover for Fiona in Wonderland's new album.
He waves in her direction. That cover was brilliant. The pop princess wore a gas mask and a full-blown wedding dress, standing in an open field. I wonder briefly if it was Aurora's concept before deciding I don't care. So, the traitorous lass turned out to be decent at what she does. Call the fecking press.
Rory, Mal is one of the biggest poets of our time. He's sold some of the best songs on the Billboard, including Finding You, Losing Me, On Drury Street, Underneath the Stars, and Princess from New Jersey.
If she connects the painfully obvious dots together, she doesn't let it show. Then for that, I'm grateful. Dumb or heartless? My bet is on the latter, based on what I know about her.
Pleasure,
she clips sarcastically,
her eyes boring into my skull, trying to make a dent. She adapts well to the shifting atmosphere. I can tell no part of her is glad to see me again. That's all right. I don't want her to be a willing participant in the game. I just want her to partake in it. It will make everything so much messier. And messy is fun.
I called you here because I have a good opportunity for you, Rory. Jake, our senior photographer, is with Coldblaze on their last leg. Once he's done, he's going to stick around in New York for a while. His girlfriend's having a baby, so we need a photographer for this next project.
I'm your person, Aurora turns to him, nodding. I pinch my lips, refusing to let my satisfied smirk loose. Reiner saunters over to stand between us, then turns around and leans on the edge of the balcony, looking back and forth at us.
It's a big one, Jenkins.
She nods, her attention on him now. She is still deadly beautiful. That's the thing that bothers me most. But it shouldn't. That just means it won't be a terrible inconvenience to shag her, which I fully plan on, before discarding her back to her motherland, this time with no affection and zero promises.
Dietz, Reiner, give them to me.
Aurora starts playing with the hoop in her nose.
You silly, predictable girl. 2 months in a village just outside Dublin. Tokyo, is it?
He throws me a puzzled look.
Tolka.
I shove my bald fists into my pockets.
I was close,
he laughs. Sure, you only got the city, country, and continent wrong, arsehole.
Doherty will be writing the songs and Richards will be recording them in his studio. The acoustic version, anyway. Kinda like an artistic workshop, old school style. Then Richards will come back to New York in March and record it from scratch.
What Reiner means is the singer will come back and have professionals distort his voice to sound like something that doesn't break glass, concrete, and people's spirits. I watch Aurora's face transform from annoyed to terrified in a span of seconds. Her lips are still pursed.
That means 2 months in Ireland, Jenkins, all costs taken care of. You're welcome.
He winks.
Wait.
Aurora holds up a hand.
Why do I need to stay in Ireland? I can just take pictures for a week or so and then get out of their hair.
Reiner shakes his head.
It's for a documentary of sorts. We need hours of material, hundreds of pictures. Our marketing campaign is huge. We're bleeding money out of our asses after a butchered colonoscopy exam. We need as much material as possible.
You can't expect me to live in Ireland for the next couple months,
Aurora says through a tight smile. I know what she did to make me hate her. But I wonder what I did to warrant such sour behavior, other than being a cunt just now. Come to think of it, that's probably all it took. Then, of course, there's the matter of the boyfriend. The rich, shiny boyfriend she said she'd never date, yet I saw her in the ballroom, clinging to his brioni-clad arm like a bad breath on a fecking alcoholic. What disappointments we are to each other, princess.
I can fly in and out of Ireland,
she suggests, munching on her lower lip.
It's no trouble, and I bet you'll need me here, too.
Reiner shakes his head, his patience dissipating, just like mine.
Richards' schedule is all over the place now that he's dating that new second cousin to the Royals chick in London. I don't know when he plans to come and go. You need to be there at all times.
In a hotel?
She asks hopefully. This time a smile curls on my face. What can I say? Even I'm not completely unaffected by a good arse-to-mouth situation where Aurora has to taste just how hard I fucked her.
What would be the point of that? We need you there with them under the same roof. Are we having a problem here, Jenkins?
Reiner tapers his eyes at her.
Should I give this assignment to someone else? Someone more experienced, maybe?
Aurora frowns at him, then shakes her head. Nah, she's not one to back down from a challenge.
I'll make this assignment my bitch.
She breathes.
I have no doubt, kiddo.
Puke, meat, bucket. He didn't ask her to save the world, just take a few pictures of that aged Richards pretending to be hard at work. Aurora turns her attention to me. I'm ready for her, with the shit-eating grin of someone who not only pissed in her jacuzzi but also drowned her boyfriend in it for good measure.
Mal?
I raise an eyebrow.
Aurora?
Just so you know, I have a boyfriend.
She says matter-of-factly, peeling my pea coat from her shoulders and throwing it my way. I catch it, and as I do, raise my left hand in the air, palm facing me, so she can see the gold band on my ring finger. Good for you, sweetheart.
I deadpan, twisting the ring around. Reached first base yet? Carved your initials on a tree? Maybe you gave each other purity rings? I ponder, then shake my head. Nah, too late for that. I don't think she listened to any of my monologue, though. She is solely focused on the wedding band, following my movements with her eyes. I can see the question behind them, and of course, charitable bastard that I am, I volunteer the information. Kathleen. I shove my hand into my pocket, noticing the way, even though her face pales and her fingers clutch the banister, she doesn't collapse. Shortly after you left, beautiful ceremony, performed by Father Doherty. My sincere apologies for not sending you an invitation. Aurora's throat works, and it reminds me how delicate it was under my fingers. She elevates her chin, refusing to break. Night's still young, darling.
Selling songs and marrying Kathleen.
Her face turns to stone, completely void of emotion now.
You're right, Mal. I really don't have the faintest clue who you are anymore.
Reiner looks between us, trying to assess the situation. He knows we know each other because I told him as much, but I presented us as old friends, not as complete fiends, which is closer to the truth. Do you guys need a second? He sniffs his beaky nose, finishing off his cigarette and putting it in a plant. Christ, he's a waste of oxygen. His mother needs to plant a tree for every day he lives. Yes, Aurora says. No, I snap at the same time. There's silence for a few seconds before I give Reiner half a shrug and make a show of turning back to the railing, parking my elbows on it, ignoring her. All right then, lovebirds. Reiner rubs his chin. I can see him in my periphery, moonwalking backward to the doors like the moron he is. Aurora drops her voice once we're alone.
In the contract, you said you wouldn't care if we had significant others or spouse.
I cut her off immediately. You mean 8 years ago, when we were both fresh out of diapers? Come on now, Aurora. We were in love with the concept, not each other.
Why is she even bringing this up? After everything she's done and said, it's like being wary of a blood test when both your limbs are cut off and your head is chopped floating somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea.
Ships sailed, sweetheart. I don't bother looking at her. Instead, I stare at the ugly, soulless skyscrapers of Manhattan, reminding myself how much she loves them. And that's just like all the ditzy girls I rolled between my sheets before and after her. She's saddled with Instagram-inspired ideas and Photoshopped dreams. She lives in a Pinterest-perfect life, and there's no filter to make my life suitable enough for her reality.
Okay,
she drawls, processing.
Just making sure you know I'm not going to honor that contract.
Excuse me while I go dry my tears with the 1 million euros I'm here for. I finish my drink in one gulp and place the glass on the wide marble railing. When I turn to her, I have a pleasant plastic smile on my face. I'd hate for her to think I actually care whether she comes or not.
Won't Kathleen mind me being there?
She plays with the hoop in her nose.
Considering our history and all?
Kathleen won't mind.
Glad to see at least one of you grew up during this decade.
She twists the hoop in her nose some more.
And I would ask that Callum could come and go as he pleases while I stay at your house. We'll be good guests and stay out of your way as much as possible, of course.
That's fine, I snap. She's staring at me. I'm staring at the view again. I'm not making it any easier for her. Why should I? She's the one who threw everything down the shitter and flushed it 1,000 times.
You still live in your cottage?
She asks. Yes.
You have any children?
No.
Is there a...
Do I look like a steak? I cut into her words again. She shakes her head, looking at me with even more confusion and revulsion than before. Then stop grilling me. I twist my head to stare her down. By the way her face screws in pain, I can tell she got the not-so-subtle reference to the time she asked about her da. I remind myself what I've had to endure in recent years, thanks to her, and push the guilt aside.
To think that every minute spent with her, I was tearing myself apart for not giving her the truth.
About her. About her father. Whatever I plan to do to Aurora will only cause short-term damage. She'll land back on her feet. Eventually. Me. I'm fucked into the next life, and possibly the one after it, too. Look, I sigh. Reiner is set on sending you to Ireland, and considering the paycheck and the fact that you mean very little to me, I'm not sure why I should fight him on this. You'll come, you'll do the job, and you'll leave. If you want to bring your shiny boyfriend along, be my guest. We don't have to become best buds again. I sign quotation marks with my fingers, sprinkling the insult with a fake whiny American accent just to walk the extra cunt mile. No need to get your knickers in a twist.
Why are you so mad?
She hisses, more shocked than hurt now.
Mad?
I blink at her like she's crazy.
I'm just not interested in making this more than it is. It's been 8 years, and a lot has happened in them,
but not enough for me to spell out the words she wants to hear. I'm taken. You're taken. It's just a business transaction. I won't try to steal you. I won't try to sabotage your relationship. I won't try to seek revenge. Those are all the things I don't say. Things I leave out. The things she should be demanding right now. Luckily, Aurora seems too flustered to read the unwritten fine print of this conversation. She's forever the hot-headed redhead.
I see.
Her jaw squares and so do her shoulders.
If that's the way you want it to be, then I'll respect that.
She nods, taking a step away from me. I want to throttle her. To tell her it is not, in fact, the way I want it to be, but she made it that way. She moved on and I got stuck. Now I'm angry and vengeful and definitely in the mood to inflict some damage myself.
When do I start?
She parks her hands on her waist. Sometime after Christmas, before New Year's. Richards is throwing a party at my house and Reiner mentioned something about it. I scratch the beginning of my stubble. Work out the details with him.
Do you have any plans for Christmas?
She blinks at me. Poor lass is still trying. Is she bipolar? She was quite clear about where I stood with her after we parted ways, so this doesn't make a lot of sense. You're doing it again, I point out.
Doing what?
Trying to make pleasant conversation. Being pleasant to you is not on my agenda, Aurora. She turns around and walks to the door. I decide I'm not done hurting her. Kathleen's, I say to her back. I'm spending Christmas at Kathleen's. She stops, but she doesn't say anything. I get a good view of her little round bum. And you? I can't help myself. Christmas with the future in-laws in England? She turns and gives me a serene smile.
I, too, have no interest in being pleasant with you, Malachi Doherty. The difference between us? Unlike you, I stay true to my word.
I lean back on the banister and smile, watching her go. All is fair in love and war. And I'm certainly prepared for battle.
A note from Jeff Reiner. History and hysteria have more than a few letters in common. These two, they definitely share a history. And what I saw on the balcony was nothing short of hysterical. I've watched it happen time after time in this industry. Exes working together, thinking they are mature and moved on and capable of being friends. B-U-L-L-S-H-I-T. I could have told them it would only get uglier from here on out. Warned them not to bother. That the money isn't worth it. And babysitting an asshole like Ashton Richards is only going to put them under more pressure, break more rules, and push them over the edge. I could. But let's be real. I'm a 40-something cokehead with a sex addiction, and I have absolutely zero doubt that's how they view me and what they think of me. Seeing other people screwing up their lives is not painful at this point. It is even, dare I say it, therapeutic, like knitting. Knitting a disaster. That's why people gossip, right? To get a kick out of other people's problems. And when other people don't have problems they can see or taste or judge, they create problems for them, analyze their every move to try to make themselves feel better. Well, this has catastrophe written all over it. How could I prevent it from happening? Plus, I'm genuinely interested to see how it pans out. Knowing Malachi Doherty's story, I don't know how he can bang up his miserable life more than he already has. Guy is so deep in shit. Anything else thrown at him, even a scandal, would frankly be an upgrade. I pop two pills of whatever my dealer gave me and make my way back to the party, knowing I look like a Eurovision set and not giving a fuck. Because I don't. I really don't. Let people judge. They're not much better. The only difference between us is that I know what Malachi and Rory think about me. They don't know what I think about them.
5. Rory. You're home early? Summer pokes her head up from behind the fluffy cushions of the couch before turning back to the TV and shoving another spoonful of Chunky Monkey into her mouth. Pretty Woman is playing. She waggles the spoon at the TV, yelling at the screen. I freaking loathe rom-coms. Falling in love with a billionaire and ending up marrying him is bullshit with a capital B, especially when you're a working girl. You're more likely to get murdered by him. You know, since working girls are often without relatives. This should have been Pretty Dead Woman, a cautionary tale. Don't wait for a call from Hollywood. I hang my coat by the door and kick my Toms off as I make a stop at the kitchen counter, which is actually inside our tiny living room, pouring both of us large glasses of cheap wine. Callum wanted me to stay over, but I have an early morning tomorrow. And privately, I can admit that seeing Mal shook me to the core. Why the ice cream? I place the empty wine bottle in the sink, my back to her. I'm trying to act nonchalant, mainly so I can convince myself I'm not having a mental breakdown of epic proportions, which I'm not. Feeling my pulse pounding against my eyelids is totally normal, I'm sure. I was just thinking about the love of my life. Summer lets out an exasperated sigh. Shouldn't that be a good thing? I quirk an eyebrow, turning around and plopping next to her. I hand her a glass of white wine. No, considering the fact I haven't met him yet, and it's very likely he's sleeping with someone else as we speak, Rory. It's Saturday evening, and the whole world is drunk and stumbling out of office Christmas parties. How could he do this to me? Summer sniffs. He's probably screwing another girl right now. The hot girl from HR. Dirty bastard. I bite down on a smile, working out a way to explain her backward logic in my head. Summer's sunshine blonde hair is tied up in a huge messy bun, and she's still wearing yesterday's eyeliner. She's clad in gray sweatpants and a black hoodie, a far cry from her usual glamorous off-Broadway actress persona. Summer is in between projects now, rehearsing for her next show, which is due to start running mid-February. This was supposed to be our time together. But now I have to go to freaking Ireland and work alongside Mal, who had a personality transplant sometime in the last decade and died on the operating table, only to resurrect himself as Satan. Summer turns the volume down, swiveling on the couch to face me. What's up, Roar? You look like you sucked off Lucifer and he filled your mouth with ashes and lava. No, but close. I put my glass down. Summer has been my best friend since we were toddlers. We went to grade school and college together. We share an apartment. She knows everything about me. I saw Mal at the ball tonight. She blinks at me. Mal? Irish Mal. Her eyes widen, and she slaps the back of her hand over her forehead dramatically. Summer can be scandalized more easily than a 17th century duchess in a brothel. Say it ain't so, I nod. It's so, and it's worse than anything you might imagine. I don't know how it possibly could be, unless he's Callum's lover and is after his ass, not yours. You finally have your shit together, Rory. You've been hung up on him for years. If there's one thing I've learned about this life, it's that you should find friends who love seeing you win and will support you when you lose. Summer is both. He's married, I say. Ouch. To my sister, Kathleen. The bastard! She jumps up on the couch, quilt dropping to the floor, and shakes her fist in the air. I'm going to kill him! The worst part is not even that everything Kathleen said turns out to be true. It's the fact that Mal can't stand the sight of me for some reason. He's mad at me, and he won't tell me why. I grab a throw pillow, hugging it to my chest. Who cares why he's an asshole? Just be glad you dodged that bullet. Look how he treated your half-sister. The jerk played her around when you were there. I'm going to go out on a limb and bet their marriage is a clusterfuck of massive proportions. Summer plops down, grabs my wine glass, and puts it to my lips, urging me to take a sip like it's medicine. Besides, you have Callum now, and he is uber hot and doesn't hate money or standing or, you know, life in general. Mal doesn't hate life. He loves it. That's the entire reason he is who he is, because he loves life so passionately. But I'm thinking about young Mal. The current version seems about as jolly as a KKK meeting. Summer huffs. What was he doing there anyway? He's working with Jeff Reiner now. I put the pillow behind my head and throw myself over it. We're about to work together. In Ireland. For 2 months. I'm going to live with him. I swallow hard. And his wife. Summer looks at me like I've just announced my intention to join the circus, where I will be performing a one-hour show doing gymnastics on the back of an elephant in nothing but leopard thongs, blindfolded. What in the fuck went through your head when you said yes? The job opportunity? Plus, the Mal thing happened 8 years ago and clearly means nothing. Means nothing? Summer shoots to her feet, pacing back and forth in our tiny living room, arms linked behind her back. Means nothing? You obsessed over his ass like he was the only male with a functioning dick in the entire universe. It took you years, not weeks,